You're listening to Well Met.
Well Met.
A Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com.
Well Met.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 230 of Well Met, a Hearthstone podcast brought to you by BlizzPro.com. Today is Tuesday, March 17th of the year 2020. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everyone, and happy reveal season in Hearthstone. This is probably going to be a pretty long episode. There's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of information dumped on us. But before we get into that, let me first of all introduce myself. My name is J.R. Cook here in Kansas City. I'm the host of your show. And join with me today are my two co-hosts, starting all the way up from, well, both of you are from New Hampshire, but I'm going to start with Mr. Danny Donuts. How's it going, Danny?
Good. I am no longer in Ray's backyard. I'm socially distancing myself in my apartment.
Yeah, no touching. No touching.
Finally.
We need to all agree. No touching. So
I'm free.
And that other voice you hear also over in New Hampshire, more than 6 feet away from Mr. Danny Donuts, is Mr. Ray C. How's it going, Ray?
I mean, it's going. The world's still spinning somehow. Man, it's been crazy. Like, if you guys listened to the pre-show, I'm sure you were probably recording most of that.
I recorded all of it.
Yeah, we just had a long conversation about life in general and stuff like that with what's going on, and it's wild right now, and not in the wild format way. Although that's pretty wild too. But
that is pretty wild too. Yeah. So
well, we talked about the bad things that are going on, but we also talked about the good things, right? So
yeah,
there's some balance there. I don't want to bring everybody down on this episode though, because there was a lot of cool stuff in Hearthstone. I definitely want to talk about that. So
it's just in time.
Yeah,
and with all this free time we have now, I mean, there's no time like the present to play Hearthstone.
Yeah, and based on everything we saw, there's no time like next month to get started playing Hearthstone. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but before we do, is there anything that either of you wanted to get into before we jumped into the news and all the craziness?
So I just wanted to say that I've been playing a lot lately, and I'm legend. I was like 200 legend, or top 200 legend yesterday, and then like right now the meta is pretty boring. If you guys are looking to climb before things kind of come out and get crazy, just play warrior or rogue. That's it. Just play warrior or rogue.
Yeah,
like it's boring but gets the job done. And right now, I guess if you're a legend, you can't climb because there's a bug out. There's a bug right now where you can't gain ranks or lose ranks by playing ranked. In legend, you can still like get to legend. Like the stars will still go up. But once you hit legend, you can't do anything. So I'm kind of stuck.
Do you think it'll adjust? Do you think it'll adjust when they push the button back? Do you think that it's keeping track of all the MMR?
No, because this has happened before. This has happened. Yeah, it happened when they did the when they changed ladder and made it so you reset at rank 4 or whatever it was.
Oh yeah.
Some people like got one win to legend basically, and it never fixed. It just kind of like once they fixed the problem, it just kind of resumed.
Okay.
From where it left off. So I think that's probably what's going to happen here is whatever happens today and until they fix it is just kind of irrelevant. It's like the whole ladder is just paused right now.
Well, speaking of the old ladder format, I had been on a bit of a hiatus from playing ranked mode for a while. Played a little bit of Battlegrounds here and there, but I hadn't really touched the ranked mode for a while. Yeah. I ended up at rank 15, so I did the classic climb. So I'm back at rank 5 right now. I waited at 5 because I knew that right when all of these wild nerfs are going to come out, there's going to be a lot of fun to be had, and Legend in Wild's not super at the beginning of the month. So right. I'm now making the climb from rank 5 to legend, and it is a blast right now. But we will touch on that coming up.
Nice. We should just jump right in then, because this is going to be, if we don't do it now, this is going to be a long episode, guys.
This week in Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft.
So the first thing that we want to talk about was actually the thing that they didn't reveal during the whole live stream today, and they just silently like dropped this during the live stream. We got patch 16.6 that came out today, and with that was a bunch of stuff that is about what's, you know, kind of getting us prepared for what is coming out, you know, getting us prepared. Okay. Anyway, so the first thing you would notice is if you're able to log in today, which currently we just looked on battle.net, and they're experiencing a lot of issues right now because everybody's trying to log in because everybody's staying home, and we're at 199 minutes when I looked. So if you're able to get logged in today, there is a new legendary card that you get for free, Kel'Thas Sunstrider, which is a neutral legendary 6 mana, 4 attacks, 7 health. Every third spell you cast each turn costs 0. So you can get that and just play it today.
That's a crazy card.
I haven't had a chance to play it yet, so I'm not sure if it's doing anything or not right now.
So it already has broken synergies in Wild, if you guys want to hear a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah.
So Jade Druid now is running Kel'Thas because you can go through, and then the idols are cheap 2 spells, and then you get to hit them with the big bombs of your free ultimate infestation or overflow and all of that stuff. So it's immediately found a home in Jade Druid. Anything that has both big and small spells is picking up Kel'Thas. So a lot of people are trying it out in different mage decks, and Hunter. Hunter is actually surprising because of something else we're going to talk about, but Kel'Thas, you have a lot of you have some cheap hunter spells, you combo that out with some stuff and you get some ridiculous combos.
A
lot of people are actually playing Wild too, so
yeah, this is... Well, I mean, there was a change to Wild.
Yeah, why don't we jump into the card changes in Wild that happened today, just to segue into that, because we knew about cards that were going to get buffed in Wild, or unnerfed, I should say. And some of those hit today, and some of them are hitting March 26th.
A week.
Yeah. The ones that hit today were Spiteful Summoner, went from 7 mana down to 6 mana. Call of the Wild went from 9 mana to 8 mana. Lesser Emerald Stone, Spellstone, went from 6 mana to 5 mana. Yogg-Saron no longer stops casting when he leaves the board. And we talked about Sludge Surper last week, where the attack went from 1 to 2, and that's also in Standard as well. But the biggest one, I think, that Danny's probably the most excited about it, is Raza the Chained. Which, if you remember, that was nerfed at one point where if your deck has no duplicates, your hero power costs 1 this game. It was nerfed to that, and it has been now unnerfed, so now if your deck has no duplicates, your hero power costs 0 this game.
Oh, baby. I'm so excited by this. I've already played like 20 games with Raza.
Yeah. Dang, you're on top of things.
Well, I mean, I was at work for a while, and so now I'm not working, so I was playing. So,
oh yeah, that's true.
A ton of fun. Oh my god, this is the one that I wanted. And because I mean, I was a big Raza player for a while, and it's good to have you back, old buddy.
Yeah. Are any of the other Wild buffs or unnerfs impactful, or is Raza like the main one?
So Raz is the one that's going to probably impact the meta the most. It's interesting seeing Call of the Wild and the Lesser Emerald Spellstone, because I'm not a big hunter player myself, but from what I like, the Spellstone is definitely going to help like Secret Hunter come back, because that deck was always on the fringe of being a good hunter deck. And then when the Spellstone went away, then it's like, okay, this card's not broken anymore. The deck's not really that strong. Call of the Wild is something interesting as well, because on 8 mana, a lot of things can cheat that out a little bit sooner. So Call of the Wild, Call of the Wild is something that you can really look at there. It's something that I don't really know how to build around, but there are a couple like predominant Hunter-only players, and I think they were very excited about these two changes.
Nice. And, you know, none of these impact Standard at all, except for Sludge Slurper, which we talked about last week. And even that shouldn't impact Standard really any. But
if you go on Twitch, though, the one card that you see the most play right now from every streamer is Yogg-Saron. Everyone is playing Yogg.
Yeah. Well, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
That's literally like the highlight reel of the card. Like,
right. Yeah,
everybody's trying to get them Trolled and clips back in their life.
Yeah. Exactly. I bet the next episode of Trolled and will legitimately only be Yogg clips.
Yeah. I would not be surprised. It'd be like, he's back, baby.
And then the current Standard cards that will be moving to Wild and getting unnerfed on March 26th will be Dr. Boom Mad Genius, which is going to be moving from 9 mana to 7, which I think that's the one that I was really talking about would probably happen. Giggling Inventor went from 7 mana back to 6. Raiding Party went from 4 mana back down to 3. And Reckless Experimenter, the old was the Death Rattle minions you play cost 3 less, but die at the end of the turn and cost can't be reduced below 0. Now they can be reduced below 0. Or below 1, sorry. Not below 0.
So those actually have some impact on Wild, which Dr. Boom going back down to 7, Dr. Boom was still seeing minor play in Odd Warrior, so it now becomes the staple back into Odd Warrior. Probably pushes that back up to like a tier 3 deck. It was a tier 4 for a while, but Control Warrior is back in something like an off-color deck that you'll see. The Giggling Inventor is interesting because the biggest change of this, it's not the mana change, it's the polarity of the mana. It's no longer odd, it is an even card, and there are certain even decks which would look to play it, something like Even Paladin or not necessarily Even Shaman, although that's like probably like a tech spot in there, but it will probably see more play, but only in even decks. Or I mean, you could always have something in some Shaman that evolves it, but I think that those are the two things. And then now the Mechathun Priest is a thing, and with some of the changes that we might see coming up later on in the future, this Reckless Inventor thing might be an actual thing because Priest has a little bit more cycle coming up soon.
Yeah. So those were the big hitters in this patch. Of course, you can also pre-purchase the newly announced expansion, Ashes of Outland. You can get the Mega Bundle, which gets you 90 packs, new Shaman Hero, the Serpentine card back, and a random Golden Legendary card, and you also get 4 arena tickets, and
you also get a Tavern Pass.
You also get a Tavern Pass, which is something that's new from Battlegrounds, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the Tavern Pass is standalone. It's $19.99 or 2,500 gold, or you can get it with this Mega Bundle, and it's basically. The Tavern Pass includes the 4 arena tickets and the battlegrounds and the following battlegrounds perks for the duration of the Ashes of Outland expansion cycle, where you get advanced stats, visual emotes, a 3rd and 4th hero to choose from at the start of a game, and early access to all new battlegrounds heroes, subject to the release schedule of the new heroes. So that's interesting that they're putting some kind of a little bit of a paywall behind some of the battleground stuff.
Well, it's interesting that they're also putting it to 4 heroes, right?
Yeah.
Like, Four heroes is definitely much. I mean, before when it was three heroes to two, I could see myself, if I'm a free to play player, going, I'm like, you know what? I get one less option. I'll just get, if I'm a lot better than people, two to three. There's a little bit of pay to win in that, but you can get by with that. The difference between two to four heroes, they either need to expand the pool of heroes, and then it doesn't matter. But having that doubling of distance, especially when we look at like current heroes like Deathwing, which are just very strong in general, if you get like you have a higher chance of getting the better hero, like a double the chance now.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just I get that they can do it because they're adding more heroes and stuff. But yeah, it just feels kind of pay to win now.
No.
To some degree.
Like, I mean, there's a
barrier to entry now to getting. Like, truly, to breaking those high ranks, like, you need to get this.
Yeah. Like, if there was any criticism that I had in any of the announcements that they had today, this is probably the only one that I have, is this thing. But it's also, like, I'm going to be buying the Mega Bundle anyway, because that's what I would do. So it doesn't really affect me. But I don't like that they're doing it, if that makes sense.
Yep. So, that's exactly where I'm coming from as well. The same exact situation.
Yeah. And I have some friends that were a little upset about this. And I'm just like, well, look at all of the cool free stuff that we are getting. So I guess this evens out a little bit. You know, one major criticism, but a lot of cool stuff. So I guess everything can't be rainbows and butterflies. So.
Yes, well, if this is the most negative thing we're talking about on the show, I'm pretty happy.
Right. no kidding. But yeah, so there's the Mega Bundle. What's the price of that thing? I was going to look it up.
80, it's, I think.
Yeah, so it's a little bit more than past ones.
There's you get 90 packs, what you'll get. You'll typically get 90 packs for $80 off of this stuff. So getting the Battlegrounds perks added in is fairly solid. Like, hey.
So you can buy that, and then you've got the Ashes of Outland bundle where you get 55 packs, the card back, and another random Golden Legendary, and that one's $50. If you wanted to go that route, I'd just pay the 30 more. If you're gonna pay money, I would just do that, right? I would probably just buy both, because that's normally what I do in this situation. But
well, you might not have to now. You may not have to go through and buy both with what is. Do you want to go on to that next?
You are very correct, and I think that is probably worth going into, because I think that's a good segue. Because there's also a bunch of Battlegrounds changes, but I'm not going to get into those just because there's so much other stuff to talk about in this show.
Yeah, we can talk about that next week.
Yeah, well, the Battlegrounds changes are already in place. If you want to go play them, go play them. But the biggest thing is the announcement of the Year of the Phoenix, which we talked about, looked like it was going to happen. It kind of got leaked a little bit. But they did a video, like a 2-minute video, with new game director Ben Lee, not Ben Brode, by the way, Ben Lee. This is the first time we've seen the new game director, I believe. And he showed the Year of the Phoenix roadmap, and he immediately went into card pack changes where there is duplicate protection on everything. So the fact that, you know, think about legendaries when they made that change where you don't get any duplicate legendaries until you know, you're always getting a new legendary until you have all the legendaries and then you start getting duplicates. They're now doing that for every rarity.
Mm.
And it's going to make getting your collection a heck of a lot cheaper. So that's what Danny was talking about, is maybe you don't need to buy both bundles this time, because maybe you're going to get everything that you need with those 90 packs.
Ooh, that's true.
See, that was something that I always found. I typically would try to only buy the first, the higher price bundle to get all of the perks and all of that stuff, and then go through and spend any dust or gold that I had made throughout the prior expansion to the extra cards that I was missing. And it, I typically would be able to get any, I'd miss two or three legendaries, but I have a good enough sense to pick which legendaries I'm not going to typically get throughout the expansion, right? Yeah. The ones I don't want. But then there would, the thing that would always get me to get a little bit more and be like, okay, I need to buy 10 extra packs or something, would be when I would miss epics and like, oh, I would miss like some really good epics and I'd be like, dang, I got 5 copies of this one really bad epic, but I did not get the copies of the epic that I'm looking for that I think is going to be really good. So that is the stuff that really would go through and grind my gears when just buying one of these things. But if it's evenly distributed, now all of a sudden, instead of getting 5 duplicates on one epic, now that is like 2.5 epics that you just have locked out, which is really solid.
Right. So basically, you're spending less dust on epics and rares that you didn't get and spending your dust on legendaries that you want. That's the way that I see it. And I'm not going to spend as much dust as what I used to. So I think that's pretty cool. Now I of all of the things that they announced today, I feel like this was the biggest to me. Like, I think we talked about this.
This is the biggest?
I think it is. Like, I don't know. Like, this feels really big to me for a couple of different reasons. This feels big for current players. This feels big for free-to-play players, and this feels big for returning players as well. And I like, that seems like a significant enough thing that it, I think it tops my list. I really think it does.
I got something that's a little better, but it's one of our main bullet points, so.
Sure.
I'm not going to spoil the surprise.
Well, I mean, if people are listening to the show, they probably know what you're talking about, but for me, this is the biggest for me. We've talked about this on the show many, many times now. What we've been referring to as Hearthstone 2.0, and what we would like to see, like we would like to see client changes. We'd like to see the way, you know, we'd like to see them change the rank system. We'd like to see them, you know, make changes to rewards and make changes to the progression system. Make it easier for players to come back to, make it easier for new players. And I feel like this this Year of the Phoenix announcement that they did, and I'll get more into the roadmap here, I really feel like this is Hearthstone 2.0. Like, this is what we've been talking about. It's going to take a year for them to do, because this is taking place in different phases, and the card pack changes are happening in the first phase, which is happening with the expansion release. So the next thing that is also happening is a free deck for new and returning players. I thought that was kind of cool. And when I say the expansion release, it's March 26th is when Year of the Phoenix comes into play, and then the expansion comes out on April 7th. Basically this is a deck that new and returning players will get to play. It'll have cards in it for you to play, and all kinds of goodies, so that you don't feel like super far behind if you're just returning back to the game. If you're listening to this podcast, you've probably already played, so this probably doesn't pertain to you. But I thought I'd mention it because I thought it's a cool thing.
I do know some people who listen to podcasts that no longer play the game. They go and they're like, oh, here's the news with what happened. I enjoy listening to these people. I do know some people who listen to podcasts but don't play the game. So to any of our listeners who that might fall into, hey, you can get some free stuff.
Yeah. One of the other big changes that's happening in phase one is ranked mode overhaul. This one, I'll be honest, I don't fully understand yet how this works. I know they talked about it on the live stream. I was working and kind of half paying attention. But they basically implemented the whole bronze, silver, gold, platinum, diamond system. And then there's ranks within those. And there's still stars that you can get. There's still ranked floors and things like that. But the thing that I didn't fully understand with this is that after a season is over, everybody goes back to bronze. So it's not like if you're legend, you just go into diamond. or, you know, you don't just fall back a little ways. Everybody starts back at the beginning, but the higher you are, the faster you can progress, I think, is what they said. And it's, I didn't kind fully of like understand how that worked.
Do you want to take this, Ray, or should I?
No, you can. You can.
Okay. So it's kind of like you get a multiplier on the number of stars per win that you get if you, the further up you go. So, for example, let's say I'm a brand new player. I get in for the first time. Every single time, starting at bronze, I get a win. I get one star. But let's say I finished at legend last season. And I don't know what the specific multiplier that they have there. It's every single win that I get 10 stars in bronze. And then as you go up through the different leagues, your multiplier decreases. So let's say I get up to silver next, and all of a sudden my multiplier is now only 8 stars for every win. And then it goes down to the final, when you get to that final league, I don't know the specific ranks, but when you get to that final league, you're back at that, you're only getting 1 star per rank. So ultimately, the further you progress, the easier it is next time for you to progress.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't believe there's a negative multiplier if you lose. So let's say I'm in bronze with like rank 9, right? And I lose. I don't think I lose 10 stars. I think I only lose 1 star. I only get the positive multiplier. There's no negative like multiplier.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So,
what do you think about this system, Ray? You like this better?
I think that it makes it slightly more exciting because you have that like, oh, everybody resets at bronze. Like, who's going to get legend first? It feels more exciting, but I don't know how the math works with like the multiplier and stuff, like how much more of a climb it actually is, or if it's even like less or the same. I don't know. To me, it's not really a big deal. It's all the same. It just looks different now.
Yeah,
I think that it will help out the spreading out. Like one of the things that you look at with everything in the current format is there are 25 ranks. And if you look at what they had there, there's more, it's much more granular. So I think that this allows for people to have progression in the game a lot more because there are a lot, because you can go and say, all right, I'm a silver player. I want to go up and become a gold player. And then you can make your goal to go through the ranks of silver to gold. Whereas before, that would have been pretty much the climb from rank 10 to rank 8. When it's like, oh, it's just win 10 games or something. Where it's like, it becomes more granular and it helps you assess your play a little bit more. And it's like, oh, okay, well, I'm only a gold 3 player. I need to be able to go through. And these guys who are up there a lot more, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I need to learn a little bit more. I think this is definitely beneficial to those players who might not be like the exact top of the legend every season. But I mean, I'm definitely going to go through and try to bang my head on this and try to get all the way on this. And I think that I probably will have enough time to do that now. But it's interesting. I do like this.
It makes me excited to play ranked again.
So here's another thing as well. Like the beginning of each season, all the players who are like even bronze have a chance to play against people who were legend and stuff like that at the very beginning, right? Because we all start at the same place.
Actually, that's not the case. One of the things that they also talked about is, and I don't think this is in the blog, but they talked about it in the live stream, they're made some changes on the back end system on the matchmaking, and it's no longer going to take into account like it does today, where maybe you're ranked 22 and your opponent's ranked 22, so they're going to match you together to play. It's going to take into account what your skill level might be. So if you were a legend player and have been an active legend player for some time, and at the beginning of the season you're both bronze and you're likely not going to be playing against another player that is just new and in bronze, or someone who is in gold and dropped down to bronze or something like that. You're more likely to play someone who's probably legend before as well.
Okay.
You may have some matchups. I think that the trade-off that means is that you may have some games now where, let's say at the start of a season, I'm halfway through bronze and then someone else has been like climbing the ladder really fast. All of a sudden, it might be playing someone who's like in the middle of gold, right? It might not be a matchup where I'm at the same rank as the person. It's just, oh, my MMR under the hood is similar to this person's over here.
Right. Yeah.
So that's the change that we're going to have to wrap our heads around. It'll be, you will see, I bet you will see a lot of like large jumps towards the beginning of the season as certain players will play a lot early, and then other players might be a little bit later to the game. Even if you're at the same, like you ended at the same exact rank last season, well, I'm playing my first game on Bronze 1 and I'm playing someone who's in Platinum.
Okay.
So I think that's kind of cool that they decided to do that too and kind of change their matchmaking system. I think they did talk about this a little bit in the blog. Maybe not. I didn't fully read their blog system over. I just remember hearing it in the live stream. But the other thing that I'm super excited about this new system though is they changed the rewards. Like before, you know, you'd hit your chest and you'd get, you know, maybe up to like 5 awards, and it was usually like dust and some golden cards and, you know, stuff like that. But now they have like this ranked reward system, where you're getting like legendary cards or packs, and or like cards as well. So I thought this was really, really cool. Like for example, Bronze 5, if you hit that, and you're getting awards as you hit these marks on top of getting rewards at the end of the season. So like, let's say I hit Bronze 5, you know, right off the bat, I get one classic pack right there, that moment. And then at the end of the season, I get a standard rare card.
So is that first time reward the first time you hit that rank ever, or is it the first time that season?
I believe it's the first time that season.
Wow. Okay. So this is a lot better than I thought it was. And the big thing about this too is that it's all cumulative.
Right.
That's the thing so a lot of the stuff, if you're looking at it, most of the time, for all of the fives, your first time getting there is a classic pack. And then it's a rare or an epic or a legendary based off of like the 10s rank. So going from level, tier to tier. So that's your first time reward. So overall, you're getting, if you were to make the climb to legend, you get a solid amount of cards, right? You get 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 packs. You get 5 packs just climbing the legend, and then 16, 17, 18, 9, or no, 8, 9, 10, 11 cards. So you get 11 cards and like 5 packs just for climbing, and then you get expansion packs and other things based off of how you win. So just for a season, that's a lot more than what we're getting as opposed to 3 random cards.
I need to figure, because I'm looking at this now, and maybe you were right before. Like they don't make this very clear, and
no, I feel that's why I was questioning bit. It.
Yeah, because one of the things they say is also brand new first time awards primarily aimed at helping new players. So that line right there is telling me it's a one time ever. Yeah. Well, that sucks. Right. I thought it.
Well, that's how I read it.
Yeah. So for that, that does mean though, for the other one, let's say I climbed a legend in my end of season reward does consist of 5 packs and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 cards. So 5 packs and 8 cards for climbing the legend is like tenfold compared to what you were getting before. It was half a pack.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not as big, but I mean, everyone's going to get it. Everyone's going to get that dopamine rush of getting it the first time you do it because everyone's climbing for the first time. But
yeah. I feel like they should have done this.
I do like the incentive. I like the incentive of getting new players there too, because you're getting progression as you go through and as you hit these specific marks.
I am now not as excited about this.
So don't let that temper you, right? Think about that. If someone was to come to tell you, like, just because we read a table wrong, if we go through and you think, you know, you said, oh, all of a sudden for climbing you get 5 packs and a handful of cards, like that's a significant improvement. I wouldn't yeah. poo-poo that.
No, I 100% agree. I think what threw me off is they have this little graphic up here and they're like scrolling through, like they're showing like, hey, you know, platinum rank 10, here's all the stuff that you get for hitting that. I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's like every season. because that's the way they're kind of displaying it. Then I read into it and I'm like, oh, okay, well, it's still, I agree, it's still better than it was. But dang, it's not as good as I was hoping.
It's not anything to write home about.
Right.
Nope. I agree.
All right. So those were like the big like system changes.
Before we go on to any of this stuff, do you mind if I make a meta comment about this?
Sure.
So I do think that Blizzard has gotten a lot wiser about a lot of this stuff. One of the things that they are doing is they're spacing all of this stuff out very well. They made the announcement for the new expansion coming up, and we're going to get into this stuff, but they have tapered off when these things are going live. So the ladder is going live in April. We had the buffs to the wild cards come in right now. So, and then we have even more wild buffs coming in the 26th, I believe.
Yeah.
So it seems like on the way, one of the biggest issues I always had with what Blizzard did was that they had downtime. They announced the expansion, they take the theme, they announce 5 cards, and then there's radio silence for 3 weeks. In right. this sense, like they did that, and then they're having things happen week by week by week. This is probably going to build up the hype. Like, I mean, probably Whispers of the Old Gods is the expansion to go off of, is building up the hype for an expansion. But I think this is going to build up a lot of stuff, because Hearthstone is going to be very active over the next couple of weeks, because there's going to be a lot of things happening.
Right. There's a ton of stuff happening. And you reminded me of something that I had also meant to talk about and didn't, is they also did a good job of showing the roadmap for this year in the Year of the Phoenix. And they divided it up into 3 phases. And phase 1 is what we're getting, you know, as like we'll have everything by April 7th when the new expansion comes out. And we'll talk about the Demon Hunter. There's a new class. We'll talk about that in a little bit here. We get the new card expansion that we're going to be talking about. Then there's like the battleground changes, tavern brawl stuff. We're going to get an adventure mode and the seasonal Priest. Event, like all of this stuff that we normally get, and balance updates. You know, that's all stuff we normally get. And then we talked about the free class deck that you're going to get for new players. You're going to get everybody's going to get a free Demon Hunter deck, which is the new class that's coming out. The duplicate protection that we just talked about, the rank revamp we just talked about, cards moving into the Hall of Fame, which we'll get to here in a few, and the Priest class update, which we're going to get into here next. So that's all stuff we're getting by April 7th. And then when the next expansion comes out, you know, there's some new stuff in there. A lot of it's about the same, but we're also going to get a new game mode that's they said will be like arena. Not we'll get arena, but a new game mode that, you know how arena and ranked play are different game modes. You know, it's going to be a game mode. It's going to be a big, like, game mode that people can play, you know, like Battlegrounds or something like that, right? So an all-new one.
I'm thinking Legacy. They'll make a modern, right? Modern for Hearthstone.
I swear, dude, if it's not tournament mode. I mean, I know it's not going to be tournament mode. Like, I already know that. Like, I just have no hopes for it, but, like, you're announcing new modes, and it's just like, it's right there, man. Yeah.
And then they have something called Spell Locked, which is, here's this other feature that we're not ready to talk about yet, but we have...
But they have, like, they have that, they have one Spell Locked for Phase 2, and they have 3 in Phase 3.
Correct.
Which is really cool.
Yeah.
And so the last thing we didn't really talk about is in Phase 3, they're also going to work on achievements and progression.
Correct.
That's something that I saw that really piqued my interest, because achievements were something, and like I thought that was something very easy they could overlay into Hearthstone. And I'm glad to see that at some point they're finally putting it in.
Yeah. So it's cool to see this roadmap and have stuff spelled out for us. And then they have some stuff that they're keeping behind the scenes because they're just not ready to talk about it yet. And who knows, maybe they're not able to get to it and they don't want to get into another tournament mode situation. So, oof,
yeah, I forgot they literally had a tournament mode.
Interesting.
And then they were like, eh.
Well, we got Battlegrounds out of that, which isn't, I mean, it's no tournament mode, but it's definitely a fun game mode.
Did we get Battlegrounds because of that, or did we get Battlegrounds because we got Battlegrounds?
Well, I think that the effort that would have went into tournament mode went into Battlegrounds.
I think so, too.
At some point.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
So, sure. One of the big things is we talked about we're going to get a new class, right? We're getting a new hero. We're going to talk Demon Hunter. We're going to talk about that later. I feel like we're getting two new heroes, though. Because
Two new classes,
because Priest is changing a lot. They're completely changing the class identity of Priest from what it was. And they're making some significant changes to the class. They're moving a bunch of cards to the Hall of Fame, such as Akanai's Soul Priest, Holy Fire, Shadow Form, Prophet Velen, Divine Spirit, Northshire Cleric. Those are all going to the Hall of Fame. They won't be in Standard anymore. And then they're doing some balance changes for Priests, such as Power Ward Shield, which are making a zero mana, give a minion +2 health, which Deck Tech was super excited about to me and when he was talking to me in DM. And he goes, man, this card's overpowered. I'm like, yeah, but they took the card draw away. And he's like, oh, I should learn how to read.
Dude, I thought the same thing. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, yo, this is the most broken thing in the world. This is the best. Like, how is nobody noticing this? This is by far the best like thing that they did to Priest. Like, this is insane. And then people were like, yo, a zero mana, but like it doesn't draw a card anymore. I was like, what?
Exactly.
Why did anybody tell me this? You guys know I don't read.
No. Shadow Word Death for destroying a minion with 5 or more attack is 2 mana. Holy Smite is 1 mana, but take 3 damage to a minion.
Oh, to a minion. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I thought it was deal. Okay. It's not. I was about to say this is the most broken change that they made, but it's not.
Man, you guys need to learn how to read.
I need to learn how to read cards, man.
Yeah.
It's not that easy, JR. Like, you make reading sound so easy. Like, oh, look at me. I'm JR. I know how to read. Sometimes it just doesn't be like that.
Yeah. They move Holy Nova from 5 mana to 4. Shadow Madness, they move from 4 mana to 3. Temple Enforcer, they changed it from a 6 mana 6/6 give a friendly minion +3 health to a 5 mana 5/6 with give a friendly minion 3 health. And then Thought Steal, they changed from 3 mana to 2. So they have some slight buffs here, and some slight changes to some cards, and not making them completely overpowered, like you guys thought a couple of them might be.
Well, the death one is pretty strong. I actually really like that. That's really interesting. And one of the things that you do need to think about with a lot of these cards now is how they interact with Zephyrs. Is because Zephyrs is now going to give you different options when you have different mana slots open.
Right.
So Holy Nova was something that on 7, like you play Zephyrs and then Holy Nova was an option. It was often a pretty bad option. So you wouldn't want to try to go and do that. You're like, oh, he'll probably offer me Holy Nova here. I don't want that. So you do need to start paying attention to that now. So, yeah. I mean, he does offer, I think, what? On 6 mana, if you play Zephyrs and they have a small board, it offers Shadow Flame a lot. Maybe it'll offer Holy Nova now. So there are little changes like that. I think that for this year coming up, if there's ever any changes, we want to look at how Zephyrs really interacts with everything.
And then with them moving a bunch of these cards, 6 cards to Hall of Fame, which are a lot of them are staples in Priest, they've added 2 new basic cards and 4 new classic cards to Priest as well. We'll just go over these pretty quickly, and if we want to do a deeper dive, maybe we'll do it next week or maybe never. Who knows? So Psychic Conjurer is a 1 mana 1/1 with Battlecry. Copy a card in your opponent's deck and add it to your hand. And the other basic card is a 4 mana spell, Power Infusion. Gesundheit.
Bless you.
Give a minion +2. Give a minion +2/+6. for four mana. Anything you guys want to talk about either of those?
No.
Okay.
Nah.
Cool. And then the classic cards, the first one is Coltyrn Chaplain. I don't know if I pronounced that right. Two mana, two attack, three health. Battlecry, give a friendly minion plus two health. Scarlet Subjugator, one mana, two attack, one health. Give an enemy minion plus give an enemy minion minus two attack until your next turn.
See, it's not easy to read, JR.
I corrected myself very quickly, though. And probably the card that I am most excited about in all of this is Shadow Ward Ruin, which is the epic pre-spell for four mana. Destroy all minions with five or more attack. And then the legendary Natalie Selene, which is an eight mana, eight attack, one health. With a battle cry, destroy a minion and gain its health. Anything you guys want to talk about these four cards?
Shadow Ward Ruin really changes fundamentally how Priest operates as a class now. I think that one of the things that you would always see in Priest was that every single set rotation, every year, there would be a new board clear printed for Priest, because there was nothing in the classic set that could deal with a large board, and Priest's identity was revolving around, well, it's a control class, you need to be able to go through and clear massive boards. So they printed Light Bomb, they printed Dragonfire, they printed Psychic Scream, they printed the Plague of Death. They print a lot of really good board clears for Priest because there was nothing core to Priest that really like allowed them to be the control class that they were. By adding this card in here, it allows them to future cards. They don't need to print a board clear for the class every single year round. And I think that fundamentally changes how they go about designing Priest cards. They can make things synergize a little bit more. They have a lot more design space. I think that this is a very interesting change. And it, I mean, as a side note, I'm a little bit disappointed because my dream of playing a Reno Priest that is 29 cards of board clear and Reno is becoming less and less likely.
That is sad. It's a sad day.
Yeah. I think you're spot on that analysis, though. I hadn't even thought about that. I was just excited for the card in general. But yeah, that's a really good point. That's something that they won't have to worry about making every single set now to continue making Priest viable. And
yep.
So that's a good point.
And it's a good card. Like, this is the Shadow Reaper Anduin effect on four mana, which, I mean, if just that board clear on turn eight is devastating. But now you can do this almost at any point. If your opponent has a couple of five attack or more on, like, turn four or later, like, this is a very easy spell to play.
Yeah,
It's not like Psychic Scream. Because I've been playing a lot of Priest recently because I've been playing Raza Priest. And one of the biggest issues you run into with Priest is that, like, your opponent will get a massive board, but they'll get it on, like, turn five in Wild. And it's like, it's about to be turn six. I don't have any board. Like, it'll be Psychic Scream. I need to top deck my Light Bomb or I lose the game. But if you just have Shadow Ward Ruin, it's like, oh, well, now all of a sudden, like, I can go through and destroy all, I can clear any, like, ridiculously large threat that I need to.
Yeah.
That's such a good point. Like, Holy Nova was really the only, is Holy Nova the only AoE Priest had in the, like?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
And because it was so bad, they could never go through and say, all right, Priest is going to be a control, because they haven't really ever put Priest in a position besides control or combo. And they really want to stay. This change makes me think they want to stay away from Priest being a combo class just because they took out Velen. And then they changed the Smite, like Smite being the three damage to a minion is specifically so you can't throw it at the face, because they were getting tired of people like having Mind Blast Smite combos.
I mean, we keep seeing Blizzard like push classes into what they want them to be. Like, they don't want Priest to be a burst deck. Like, they want that to be something like a Hunter or like one of the classes, like a Mage, like the classes that they designed for that. Like, Priest is supposed to be more defensive and have to do with healing and stuff like that, and potentially like combos that don't have to do with OTK, but like combos that have to do with like board control type stuff or resurrecting things. Like they're very clearly driving classes into a specific play style.
Yeah. And then the next thing that we wanted to talk about in the Year of the Phoenix and all this is going to drop on March 26th is the new cards that are going to the Hall of Fame, one of which was Leroy Jenkins, which I talked about last week, that I thought would go. You guys kind of questioned me on that, but Charge is just too good.
Leroy's just so iconic, though. Leroy going to Hall. I mean, that's almost like, I mean, Dr. Boom going to the Hall of Fame. They went through and they reprinted him three times because he was so iconic, and he was only in one set. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if there is another form of Leroy that comes into the game at some point. Yeah. He's just so iconic. But I mean, I understand him being a finisher and all that stuff, but
I don't know, man. 10-10 Edwin on turn two is still probably equally as unfair as a Leroy Jenkins. That's all I'm saying.
Well,
dodged another bullet.
Edwin Van Cleef is not going to the Hall of Fame. But if you ever thought you were going to use Spellbreaker on that Edwin Van Cleef, well, you are unfortunately incorrect, because Spellbreaker is going to the Hall of Fame.
If you wanted to try to combat one of the most powerful strategies in the game, well, guess what, buddy? When they get a 10-10 on turn two, you're done. That's it.
Well, unless you play Priest, and then, you know, you can...
And then you can Shadow or Death it now, right, for one mana cheaper.
Yep. So that's kind of interesting. Charge and Silence are two of those effects that they're trying to get away from. Owl is still in Standard, though, right?
Yep, so you do have options, options for Silence.
So you still have the option.
It's just, you need to be using it. It's like... You need Silence, right? That you don't, like, Spellbreaker could be used as a tempo play. Like, in a lot of aggro decks in Wild, Spellbreaker is the de facto Silence card because, well, I mean, it's one of the two. You're either playing that or Shieldbreaker, because the only thing you're really looking at Silence is taunts. But Spellbreaker is really good in stuff like even Warlock, because all of a sudden it's like, well, I can play this for a tempo, and it's like a 4 mana 4/3, which isn't bad. But if I want to silence one of my opponent's minions, I can too.
Yeah. The Mountain Giant, I'm not that surprised about. I
love how all the giants were broken. I think that, Sea Giant is the one that really hasn't seen any major breakage, but every single giant that they printed, the Molten Giant, Mountain Giant, has all seen like a lot of play and really strong decks. But I am disappointed about this change, because it then puts it into Blizzard's hands for Warlock. Warlock can no longer just de facto go to Handlock. Handlock is dead unless they print a card like Mountain Giant for Warlock specifically to have that Handlock archetype. Warlock is going to suffer.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the two that I am rather surprised about, but after they explained, I'm like, well, that does make sense, were Mind Control Tech, which wasn't even in my head as something that would go to the Hall of Fame, but they explained it as like it's just one of those cards that just feels bad, you know, is, you know, you don't have a whole lot, like maybe your deck is all about making the big board or whatever, and then someone plays Mind Control Tech and they end up randomly taking your biggest minion, and there is nothing you could have done about it, or, you know, it's just one of those like very random cards. I get it. And then Acolyte of Pain, which I guess maybe surprises me a little bit less. The way they explain this is anytime you had any kind of deck that you needed card generation, this was always in the package for it. Mm-hmm. And since it's in neutral, everybody had access to it. And it's just one of those staple cards that for card generation.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the first time I came onto Well Met as a guest, we were talking about Hall of Fame rotations, and I said Acolyte of Pain would be the card that I wanted to rotate to the Hall of Fame.
You finally got your wish?
I mean, I was a Wild player, so I didn't care, but I said that just generally for the health of the game, stuff like this and Gadgets and Auctioneer ultimately do need to rotate if they want to go through. Obviously, you need to print replacement card draw or the game gets very stale. So this allows for a lot of fun types of new card draw to come into the game. which is very fun. And but then they can go, the big thing is that they can limit it by class now, where all of a sudden we want to have a Miracle Rogue deck, but we don't want to have Mage for whatever reason get a bunch of draw, because then they'll go and they'll have some broken thing. And so that's more or less what they can do now. They can tier it towards specific classes to get a lot of card draw and push different archetypes. So it gives them more control.
Yeah. So what do you guys think of the Year of the Phoenix?
I mean,
Hearthstone Reborn.
I think that there was a lot of announcements. I think that the hype, I don't know. Like, to me, like, they needed to do something drastic, right? To keep us interested, because I don't know, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of competition nowadays. Like, right now, we're kind of captive audiences, but.
Yeah.
I like that one.
You know, once we can get out of the house again, like, I don't know, they have to keep us interested. So I think these are very big announcements. I'm pretty excited, but it's not like to me, it's not crazy. Like, it's not crazy. Like, oh my God, you know what I mean? Like, this is insane. Like, I'm freaking out right now. Like, that isn't how I feel. I feel like, okay, these are changes that are good that needed to happen, but it's not anything like insanely crazy. Like, okay, a new set, more updates to Battlegrounds, like a new hero. That's obviously the biggest thing, but I feel like that's something they needed to do, but it's not anything crazy. Like, to me, that's kind of part of the new set almost.
Yeah, it is.
Like, it's a new thing.
Yeah. I feel this more as just a step in the right direction, right? Yeah, this is kind of like their dev team saying, look, we were players who played Hearthstone from the start, and we were. It seems like a lot of these things are geared towards people who play Hearthstone a lot more. It makes the game more comprehensive and a little bit more at the top level than at necessarily the bottom level. A lot of these changes were things that were active towards people like us who are chatting on the podcast. Yeah. It wasn't like, oh, this basic, the Chillwind Yeti all of a sudden is a 5/5, and it's like, oh, to teach people that 4-mana 5/5s are good, right? It was things that will impact the game going forward for those who are invested in the game. So it's kind of like the dev team's putting it, like I said, putting a foot in the right direction. We're taking a step going forward. They've got us. They're kind of starting to understand how to change the old guard into the new guard.
Everything that they announced is stuff that I have wanted. Every single thing that they've announced is stuff that we've talked about on the show that we've wanted. I feel like the only thing that we didn't get was the Evergreen set. And I'm okay. I'm still okay with that.
I think they fundamentally, I mean, that just seems like something that they might not want to do. And it seems like there probably are some strong supporters behind that. And I would bet that a lot of that is still tied down to the new player experience. Right. An Evergreen set is great for people who have large collections and all of that stuff. But just like in Magic, like if you like are away for a set or whatever, and the Evergreen set changes, all of a sudden, like all your decks, like your base of your decks are no longer viable. And I think that's a little bit rough in a virtual card game.
But
I mean, that's me playing devil's advocate for that. I obviously would, as someone who's very involved in the game, I would love to see an Evergreen set. It would be a lot of fun, but I can see as a design decision why they would go in that direction.
Sure. But duplicate protection, ranking changed. We're gonna get a new game mode at some point. They're adding achievements and progression. They changed the reward system a bit. Like, these are all things that we've talked about for years that we've wanted and we're finally getting. And there's still some things we don't even know about yet that we're gonna get. I can't complain at all about any of this, because they gave me everything that I wanted.
I definitely don't think there's any complaints. It's just not, to me, it's not like earth shattering like people made it seem to be or made it out to be. Like, people were like, oh my God, this is like blah, blah, blah.
I mean, from Hearthstone, though, at this point, though, we've been in a bit of a lull. I don't want to say a lull, but we've been getting solid updates from Hearthstone, but this is... It's like kind of like we've gotten confirmation that there's life on another planet. These guys know that this stuff's going on. It's a step in the right direction that has got outside of the boundaries of what we've seen in the past. They're willing to make some drastic changes, like changing priest. like fundamentally changes the class. That is a fairly drastic step to take.
Yeah.
And I feel and like
I can understand why people are getting extremely hyped, but yeah. I do agree with you that it may be overhyped, and I think that might just be because people are not expecting much out of Hearthstone in general.
See, I'm on the opposite side here because I know we talked about a few weeks ago about the hyperbole that we were seeing from the people that went to the Hearthstone Summit saying, you know, everything we saw, you guys are going to be so excited about. This is amazing. This is awesome. This is one of the best things, you know, come to Hearthstone in a long time. And we talked about, well, is it really going to be that case? You know, are they overhyping it? I'm with the people that were saying that. Like, if I hadn't heard about that, I'd be saying that right now about these changes. Because this feels like there's so much here, and we haven't even talked about the new set yet. This on top of the new set, like everything is just. Like this is the biggest day that Hearthstone has had in terms of announcements since the original announcement of the game.
Mm-hmm. No, it's definitely huge. Like, I don't want to underplay it in some way. It's just it was hyped up so much that I feel like the only thing that could actually make me like, oh my God, would be like some type of tournament mode or some type of esports related thing. That's actually something that bothered me a lot, was that they didn't even mention.
See, and I'm on the opposite side there. If this was tournament mode instead of this stuff, I would have been like, why were they hyped? That's dumb.
That's kind of funny. So,
yeah, we're on the opposite. We're definitely on the opposite sides on that. And I think it's just because of our experiences with what we want from the game. Because mine is completely different than yours. And that's the reason why you're on the show. And I'm on the show and Danny's on the show. We all have three very different perspectives on what we want from this game.
So. That's true. I think the only thing that would have made me like super happy would be some type of esports announcement, because that's really what I get out of the game is the competition, like you're saying, as opposed to the other aspects of it.
Yeah, and I get it. I get that. For someone like me, like this has me super hyped for sure. And I would definitely have been singing the praises of Team 5 today. And I'm super excited to see what comes from this in the future here. We're going to probably not talk about all of the cards that were revealed in the new set, but Ashes of Outland is coming out April 7th. That was announced today. With it, we're getting a brand new class, a Demon Hunter class. We'll go in depth on the Demon Hunter class a little bit, though. But I didn't want to dive into like cards and stuff. Maybe next show we'll start doing some card reviews and stuff like that. Just because time wise, we're already sitting at I think over an hour on the show at this point. So, and I don't want to make us stay too long. Otherwise, Ray is just gonna get up and leave here pretty soon.
I mean, you know me all too well.
Yeah. But is there anything that you guys want to talk about the new set, or do you just want to just dive into Demon Hunters?
I like Demon Hunter.
Yeah, we can go. We could like I would just go over like what it is, like what Demon Hunter is.
Okay. Let's do it. Yeah. So this is obviously going to be the big thing of this set, and this is something that when we first started, John, Kevin, and I, like this is probably the first 10 episodes. One of the questions came up from a listener was if we thought we would ever see a new class implemented in Hearthstone. And I said, I gave it a hard no, that if we wouldn't see it, or if we do, it's going to be a long time from now. That was 5 years ago. So I guess it has been a long time from the point I said that. Because I just felt like it was going to be too difficult for them to bring something in later and other sets. But keep in mind, this was before they did Standard when we talked about this. So we didn't have a rotation of sets. And in my mind then, it's like, well, if they're going to keep releasing new cards and stuff, you know, there's going to be all of these sets that have tons of stuff to choose from that Demon Hunters, you know, are going to be way behind and they're not going to be able to compete. And maybe in Wild, Demon Hunter's going to have a tough time. I'm not sure. But in Standard, they're at least going to be on kind of the same page. And I also said if they ever did it, they would have to probably release more cards in the Demon each set for Demon Hunters just to help them get caught up. And they're kind of doing that, which I thought was interesting as well. But Demon Hunter,
we thought it was going to be Death Knights back then, though, right? This was before Lich King came out, so the class name back then was, oh, we're going to introduce Death Knights.
Yeah, it was either going to be Death Knights, Monks, or, yeah, because Demon Hunters weren't a playable class yet. But yeah, Death Knights and Monks, I think, were the two main ones that we were talking about. And maybe, who knows, maybe we'll get those at some point, too, if Demon Hunters work out well. But Demon Hunter's hero power is different than the others. It only costs one mana, and basically you just get plus one attack this turn. You don't get any armor or anything like that. It's just plus one attack. And then, yeah, then we're getting a bunch of basic cards, and we're not getting classic cards, are we? Is that part of it as well?
I thought they're doing two things. They're doing like a core thing. I'm not sure if it's basic and classic, but one of them covers basic and classic, and the other one's like a mini expansion for the card. So they have something behind them when, so they won't be too far behind the other classes right. for standard.
Yeah. And then they get the class-specific keyword of Outcast. And Outcast cards get bonuses when played from the left or rightmost position in your hand, which is interesting to think of. That's the first time we've seen a class kind of really specify around like positioning in your hand like that. So, for example, Spectral Sight is a two-mana spell draw card, and it has Outcast, so if it's the left or the rightmost position in your hand, then you also get to draw another card.
Okay. I like that. I like that, to me, that is like a skill based mechanic, because like you have control over it. So I really, really like those kind of things where I feel like I have more control over what I'm doing in the game.
It also forces you to potentially play cards that you may not have normally played, so you can get that card to the left or rightmost card in your hand too.
Yep, there's a strategy behind that. Yep.
Yeah.
It's true.
So the three Outcast cards that they showed here were the other one was Skull of Gul'dan, which is a 5-mana spell of draw 3 cards, and if you Outcast it, you replace their cost. You reduce their cost by 3, which is a super powerful. And then the third one was I-Beam, which is a 3-mana spell, lifesteal of deal 3 damage to a minion, and then it has Outcast, and it will cost 0 mana instead of 3.
Yeah.
So, I think that's super cool.
It's so interesting, that they chose, the hero power, too. Like, it's plus 1 attack, because Druid already has plus 1 attack. Plus 1 armor, Rogues is basically plus 1 attack over 2 turns, but I know there's a bunch of synergies and stuff like that, but at first glance it actually kind of feels a little underwhelming.
Yeah. I mean, being 1 mana is not insignificant, because I mean, at some point you're yeah. pretty much going to be hero powering almost every turn,
right?
Because yeah. you'll be able to fit this in on curve a lot better than most hero powers. So anything that synergizes with hero powers is going to be a lot more devastating in this class. This is the one thing, right, where from a wild perspective, I'm very excited about a new class. There, it doesn't have the backlog of cards to potentially go through and create their own decks, whereas there's probably 100 decks I could make in wild right now for mage. But for Demon Hunter, I could probably only make 10 or so. But the things that are interesting are the synergies with older sets. Something like Inspire is going to be a lot stronger in this class, where all of a sudden I have a garrison commander where I can attack, I can use my hero power twice. And it's like, oh, well, my hero power twice is only 2 mana. And then I can go through and get a bunch of Inspire things. Confessor Paltris will give me legendaries. It's a priest card, but you get the picture. The synergies from just the base set of what has been printed through Wild, of all time, it's very interesting in my perspective with a brand new class coming in with a whole new type of gameplay too. It's very interesting to see where this class will go and the class direction that they're going to do. I'm very excited about that.
Yeah.
That's true. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, like all the options that you have with that kind of stuff. That's not even something that really like crossed my mind.
Yeah. So Demon Hunters, yeah, it's not part of the classic set. You get 10 basic Demon Hunter cards, and then they're giving us 20 Demon Hunter Initiate set, which belongs to the Year of the Dragon for rotation purposes. So I thought that was interesting as well.
Okay.
And then you get a pre-built card. So Demon Hunter will not fully unlock on April 2nd, but on April 2nd, you get a prologue where you play through like four single-player missions with the Demon Hunter, and then once you finish those missions, that's when you unlock the Demon Hunter and you get these 30 cards with it in a pre-built Demon Hunter deck list. And then on April 7th is when you will get April 7th is when you can start playing the Demon Hunter.
Okay. So we'll still be in quarantine by then.
Yeah.
We got time to test out the new mechanics.
Yeah. So you'll have a little bit of time to play around with the Demon Hunter on April 2nd, but when the set officially launches on April 7th is when you'll be able to play. And so there'll be, 30, 45 Demon Hunter cards, specific Demon Hunter cards that will be available, because they'll have 15 new ones with the set as well. So we'll start out with 45 Demon Hunter cards. That's pretty good.
Yep. So that is something to watch out with Demon Hunter. I don't think Demon Hunter will hit there. I mean, unless they print these cards to be rather strong, like, I think the Demon Hunter is going to take a back seat for a little bit just because of how many cards you have available to every other class. Like, how many cards does the normal... you have three expansions worth extra until a year goes by.
Right, but the interesting thing about this is the fact that they didn't dump stuff into the classic sets. So those 20 Demon Hunter cards that you get, that are part of Year of the Dragon, could end up being pretty good. Like, basically they're saying, here's 20 cards that would have been like released last year for the Demon Hunters. And then here's 15 new ones for the set. So maybe that's why they didn't do classic quote unquote cards with the set, and they can make these 20 cards pretty powerful, considering the fact that it could get Demon Hunter up to speed quick enough, and they're and then they could rotate out those cards without worrying about it.
That's fair. Like, you think about it, for I don't know, something like Warrior, you could probably name 20 of the best cards throughout Year of the Dragon, and they are in 85% of every Warrior deck, right? The best cards will always be in most of the archetypes. So that's definitely an interesting concept. I think the class is going to have to rely on neutral cards, so depending on how their synergies really go up, especially for the first, I mean, this is probably just mostly going to happen during this first six set, and they probably have balanced it out fairly well, but if anything, it's going to be weak for a set or two, and then it will hit full stride.
Yeah, so
it's exciting. I was going to say, it's exciting to see like where this is going to take us. Like, I just want to know how good the Demon Hunter is going to be.
Yeah, I think everybody does. During the live stream, like, we just saw one game get played of it. But it looked like a lot of fun. Like, I'm excited for the Outcast mechanic and seeing how that plays out. I like the fact that they're giving players something that's a lot more skill-based to think about when playing Demon Hunter. I like the fact that Demon Hunter seems very aggressive, which is a playstyle that I really like.
An Outcast is a lot better in aggressive decks when you have fewer cards, because you have a higher chance to be on the outside of your hand.
Yep. So it'll be interesting.
Control Demon Hunter is going to be funny, because like you can't rely on Outcast, and if it's like, I mean, Rogue necessarily doesn't rely on combo per se, but you have a lot of really strong combo cards. So it'll be interesting to see that, at least maybe for the beginning of Demon Hunter, it's exclusively an aggro class. But maybe as time goes along, it can expand and become more maybe a mid-range or a controlling class as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we got the new patch, which had unnerfed cards in Wild. We got the Year of the Phoenix, which feels to me like Hearthstone 2.0 that we've been talking about. We get the new expansion, which we knew we were going to get, and we get a new class, which seems to came out of nowhere. Like, I don't think any of us predicted that.
Nope.
So all of those things considering, on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you think today went, 10 being the highest?
I would say 7.
All right.
I had forgotten that today was the day that the announcements came out, so 10. But I mean, my overall general impression is around a 7 or an 8. I think it's very positive, and it shows that we're heading in the right direction.
Yeah. I was going to give it a 9. I think I'm a little more hyped up about it than Ray is, but I think the Team 5 did it was just information overload today. Like, we didn't even go over everything, and we're gonna have to talk about more stuff next week. So
yeah,
I don't think I've ever been in that position before on the show.
Information overload.
Information overload. And with that said, I think it's time to probably get out of here.
Skedaddle.
Talked a little bit longer than I wanted to, but I knew that was going to happen. I didn't check if we had any emails this week, but even if we did, I wouldn't have been able to get to it. But if you'd like to email us, we love getting emails. We love answering emails. If we didn't get to your email, we will answer it in a future show. So wellmet@blisspro.com is where you would want to do that at. And if you would like to help support the show, there's a couple different ways that you can do that. One is through Patreon over at patreon.com/wellmetpodcast. For just $1 a month, which I think feels super cheap, you get our pre-show and post-show. Like today, we probably recorded an extra 30 minutes before. We didn't talk ton about Hearthstone stuff. We usually talk about life stuff, you know, and things like that, which is definitely what we talked about today. And our patrons seem to like it, so if that's something you're interested in, just head over to patreon.com/wellmetpodcast, and just $1 a month gets you access to that. There's some other tiers if you're interested. However, if you can't afford that, or you want to help us in other ways, a great way of doing that is through like podcast reviews. Just head over to something like iTunes, do a search for WellMet there, and if you leave a 5-star review or any star review, we'll say it on next week's show. So with that said, shout outs, and how can people get in contact with you, Ray?
Shout outs to all the homies at home, keeping it locked down.
Just hopefully everybody.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Shout outs to all the listeners who keep listening each time we put in an episode and comment in the Discord and stuff like that. That's really good to see. Even if I don't always respond, I always read everything, and I always appreciate it. And you can find me on Twitter at PG_Racy and on Twitch at twitch.tv/Racy. I'll probably be streaming a lot more since even my hospital appointments are canceled. They do not want us to go anywhere near any place that has to do with healthcare right now. They just want us home. Yeah. Not allowed to leave. So I'll be starting up the stream again soon.
And if you feel like you're at home and you're feeling isolated and things like that, definitely come check out our Discord channel, discord.me/wellmetpodcast. It's either discord.me or discord.gg. I can't remember which /wellmetpodcast. You'll find us there. And we're hoping to have good conversations there. It's a good way to feel connected with one another as a bunch of us are going to be isolated for some amount of time here.
Maybe I'll do some COVID coaching.
Yeah.
It's a good stream title.
There you go. How about you, Danny?
Nothing in particular this week. We'll have to wait for some more tournaments for my shout outs to get a little more fun. But you can find me on Twitter, DennyDonuts_HS. I'm really happy that this happened today, all these announcements and everything, and I'm very positive about the future of Hearthstone now. And I'm back to playing. I'm back in a good spot, so I like it.
Yeah. As for me, I definitely want to give a shout out to Team 5 and the reveal stream that they did today. Even though it got leaked a day early, I thought it was a fun stream. Like, we didn't even talk about half of the stuff that was on the stream. Like, Dave Kozak's Storage Wars thing was hilarious. there's so much. Like, if go watch the VOD if you haven't seen it. There was just so much goodness in today's stream, and it's just set in my mind that Hearthstone is the number one digital card game to beat, and there's some competitors that still have a long ways to go, and Hearthstone shows that they're still in it, and I'm super excited about that, because if you had asked me that about a year and a half ago, I would have said otherwise. So good on you, Team 5. And if you want to find me, I'm over on Twitter at Eldorian. I'm sure I'll be tweeting a lot more because I'm going to go stir crazy here sitting at home. So anyway, thanks for joining us for episode 230 of Well Met. You can find more awesome Hearthstone content throughout the week over at hearthstone.blizzpro.com. You can also tweet us at Well Met Podcast or email us at wellmetblizzpro.com with comments, questions, and ideas that you have for the show. Thanks to Jake Buttonew for our amazing intro music. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all next week.